In moonlit meadows and forest edges, there lurks a patient puppeteer. While most predators settle for catching and eating their dinner, a sort of earn it and burn it approach, the East Asian orb weaver seems oddly interested in what its victims do after they're caught, treating them sort of like seed money for an investment. Somewhere between a mustache-twirling villain and a shrewd businessman, this advanced arachnid shows that it pays to work smarter rather than harder to survive here in life, death, and taxonomy.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and Taxonomy. It's your 30 minutes of interesting animal information. I'm Joe.
And I'm Carlos.
Thank you to Cassie for the creation of our theme song. To hear more of Cassie's music, please search Cassie Michelle on YouTube or Spotify.
And a very special thank you to our patrons. Thank you so much for your support. It's greatly appreciated. Thanks for helping us keep the lights on. If you'd like to donate, just visit patreon.com/LDTaxonomy or click on donate on our website at LDTaxonomy.com.
And today we're talking about a sophisticated chemist, but more on that later.
Yeah, this one is the result of just my newsfeed on Google. Well, not now, but for a while, my newsfeed on Google occasionally just gives me cool National Geographic articles that I can't read because I don't have a subscription, but it at least has a title that makes me interested, and then I read it somewhere else. And this was it. It's like, oh, interesting.
Interesting.
But, yeah, what are we talking about?
We're talking about the East Asian Orb Weaver. A weaver of orbs.
That would be nuts.
Yeah, it doesn't really... Would you consider an orb two-dimensional?
No.
I would think even. Three. At yeah. least three.
No less.
It's more like a circle weaver. A wheel weaver.
That's but, better. That actually falls off the tongue.
It's a spider.
Falls off the tongue. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
It's in the. There's a whole group of orb weaver spiders, and this is one of them. It's also called the Japanese orb weaver, but we're gonna call it here, Foul City, Jay Haxby, the Spider Siren, Blinkin' Beacon. That's all I got. I had more.
I feel like you've done multiple Gatsby references.
Have I?
Feel like it. We'll see.
I feel like I haven't complained enough about The Great Gatsby on this podcast, so I'm inclined to disagree with you.
Complained enough? Who's making you read The Great Gatsby?
The American school system. My English literature curriculum was forcing me to read The Great Gatsby. Did not and do not like The Great Gatsby at all. But one of the themes in it is
old money and new money.
Yeah. Yeah, you know. Spiders, spider money. Unrequited love, I suppose. Or requited but forbidden love. Anyway, I'll when we get to the part the major fact, I'll see if I can remember to tie it back into why I mentioned Jay Gatsby.
Okay.
But, yeah, can you... do you have any science
I sure tucked do. Away? They're in the kingdom. You know it. You love it. You're in it. The kingdom, Animalia. The phylum is Arthropoda. The subphylum is Chelicerata.
Yes.
That's another great, like, cellar door. Except for the... I guess the T kind of ruins that, but...
Well, no, if you do just the, like, the alveolar flap for the T, then it works. Like, Chelicerata.
Oh, just make it into a D?
Right, yeah. That
Chelicerata.
Then it becomes, like, a massage for the brain.
The class is Arachnida. The order is Araneae. Or Araneae? There's three vowels in a row.
Araneae.
Infraorder. Araneomorphae. The family is Araneidae. And the genus is Araneus. So the species, the binomial name is Araneus ventricosus.
Araneus ventricosus. Well, since we are in the business of naming things, it's time for my favorite part of the show and the listener's favorite part of the show, nitty gritty nomenclature. The part of the show where I ask you, Joe, a question, and that is, what is the English translation for the binomial nomenclature, which in this case is Araneus ventricosus? I'm not letting you off the hook. We all know that Araneus means spider, so we're basically figuring out what ventricosus means. Does Araneus ventricosus mean A, wind-creating spider, B, black-backed spider, C, swollen stomach spider, or D, window-like spider?
Window-like, I guess. Final answer.
That is incorrect. The answer is C, swollen stomach spider. Ventral would be your stomach area or your lower area. And then cosis meaning full or filled, completely filled, overfilled even. So
you could also say it's the big butt spider.
Yeah, it's the spider with the big butt.
That's probably what they meant. Not swollen stomach.
But it is, that's what it means.
We got to talk about, like, should we do thought-for-thought translations or word-for-word translations?
Ventricosis means swollen stomach or abdomen.
Well, if you look at this guy, why do you think they named him large lower part? Not because he's got gastritis. Because
it looks swollen and that's its abdomen. That's its stomach. That's where its stomach is.
It's not its stomach is. Its stomach is an organ inside the body.
Its stomach is in there. And it looks like it has it looks like it's just eaten a big thing.
It does. It has a big butt. That's what it looks like.
But when they're naming things in Latin, they don't. That's not the direction they go.
Speaking of what it looks like, do you want to know what it looks like?
Yes. Does it have a big butt?
It's medium-sized, altogether. Proportionally, its butt is big. It's got a sturdy body, a rounded abdomen, unlike like a golden orb weaver. It's got pill-shaped or long, oblong abdomens. It's a big round circle. Usually, it's brown, black, or gray. Which helps it to blend into bark, leaves, and other natural surfaces. Unlike, again, the golden orbs that we know and love here in North America, which are yellow sometimes. They got yellow spots, yellow areas, rather. It has the signature 8 eyes, long spindly legs. 8 of those as well, adapted for moving across its webs. And females are generally larger and more robust than males, which are generally smaller and fairly slim. Speaking of size, welcome to the Beloved Measure Up segment, the official listeners part of the show, the part of the show when we present the animal size and dimensions in relatable terms, through a quiz that's fun for the whole family. It's also part of the show that's introduced by you when you send an audio of yourself saying, singing, or chittering the words measure up into ldtaxonomy@gmail.com. We don't have a new one, but that means we get to hear from an animal.
All right. Betcha it's a spider.
Yeah, could be.
I hope it's Thaddeus J. Spider.
We've done Thaddeus J. Spider.
Have we?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that actually works pretty well here.
Without further ado, the listeners.
This spider is a successful businessman.
The listener's favorite part of the show.
Okay. I can't see you.
Up here in the corner. The other corner.
I'm sorry.
I think that's, do you know who that is? Well, first of all, who's the character? Do you know who that
is? Is that Lucas the spider?
No. That, oh, you're looking for the female voice, not the child voice.
Oh, would that be Charlotte?
That's Charlotte.
Okay.
From the 2009 movie?
The remake. I have not seen the remake.
That might be earlier than that. 2006. But I think that's Julia Roberts. Is that Julia Roberts? It is, yeah. Charlotte is Julia Roberts.
I've seen two Julia Roberts movies. Hook, really? And Ocean's 11. Or Ocean's 12, no. Or whichever one she's in.
Wow. You never saw Pretty Woman on TBS?
Have not, no.
Wow. I was a TBS kid, so I got to see all of the best movies edited for television.
To me, Pretty Woman and Little Women is the same thing.
The only sameness is the name Women in the title.
And it's not even, the first one says Woman, the second one says Women.
Yeah, it's the, yeah. So there's really no.
When you said Pretty Woman, there. I was like, isn't Winona Ryder in that? And like, nope, that's Little Women.
The only other, I guess, similarity is the main character is a woman.
Got it. I will lump that in with the Princess Diaries, Mad Max Fury Road. Anyway.
Yeah, but that's Charlotte. Charlotte is a famous orb weaving spider. I'm assuming she's an orb weaver because she's weaving orbs with words in it.
The other voice was Wilbur's voice, baby Wilbur, and he sounded exactly like the voice for Lucas the Spider, which is a Netflix show about a little like jumping spider.
Yeah.
That I've seen a lot of. So
yeah. Just children sound like that.
it's just all children sound the same, so I don't know. Yeah.
How big are the females? They're about 10 to 20 millimeters or 0.4 to 0.8 inches in body length, and they're usually larger. Taipei 101 is the tallest building in Taipei, Taiwan. It was completed in 2004, making it the world's largest building until it was surpassed by the Burj Khalifa in 2010. True or false? 35,405 spiders go into the height of Taipei 101.
35,000 is 2,916 feet about?
That sounds high.
Wait, hold on. Let's do 35,000 times 0.8 because that's what we have to work with. And then we'll divide it by 12 to get the feet. That's 2,300 feet. That's a big difference. That sounds about right. I think the Burj Khalifa is like close to 3,000 feet tall.
So yeah.
Let's say... That this
I think what correct. Your first guess was higher than the Burj Khalifa.
Yeah, well, because it was like I was going just by their 1 inch, but they're 0.8 inches, and it makes a big difference. So I'm going to say true.
The correct answer is false. The Taipei 101 is only 508.2 meters or 1,667 feet. Tall. It's currently 11th on the leaderboards.
So Taiwan had something going for it, and then the Emirates were like, Let's basically double the size of what you just did.
Yeah. And then everyone else was like, we can almost get to that. Let's make buildings that are between the Taipei 101 and the Burj Khalifa. Let's make 9 of them. Including World Trade Center is taller than Taipei 101.
Goodness.
Only American building in the top 10.
I thought the Sears Tower would have been in the top 10 for a while. It was like one of the tallest buildings in the world.
Yeah, like in 1910 times, right?
In Sleepless in Seattle times.
I guess like the Burj Khalifa really blew the lid off tall buildings. Although it's a huge problem. Like they have like sewage backup problems because it's so, you know, the issue with like, you can't get water up. You can't suck water up, but you could like be, you know, the vacuum of space and water won't go up a straw after a certain height. There's issues. And like the mystery of trees, how does it get water all the way up there? There's a problem with getting liquids up. Anyway, the Burj Khalifa is
porters with buckets.
Yeah. When you've got that oil money, you can do anything. Yeah. Including make a really, really tall building.
A literal bucket brigade of just a bunch of people handing buckets to each other all the way up to the top. But I mean, what else is Tom Cruise going to scale?
Nothing.
Nothing. That's the correct answer.
Who would ever want to scale the second tallest building?
I know. That would be weak sauce. I think I'm using that term correctly.
Let's talk about the size of the males. They're just a little bit smaller. 5 to 10 millimeters or 0.2 to 0.4 inches in body length. The orb weaver is eaten by birds like the brown-eared bulbul, the Japanese white eye, and the Eurasian wren. True or false, a Eurasian wren would need to eat 17 spiders to eat its wingspan in orb weavers.
Excuse me?
I didn't know their weight, so I had to go with this. How many spiders go into the...
It's such an odd thing to... I mean, I can eat my wingspan in pizza.
That's true. Yeah. Jelly beans? Easily. Grapes?
That's easy. That's easy.
My wingspan in beans every time I eat beans.
But like, you know, wasabi, obviously we're going to have a problem.
Right.
My weak spanning wasabi is going to kill me.
Is there something incredibly dense it would be hard to eat your wingspan in? I guess sourdough loaves. It would be tough to eat your wingspan in sourdough loaves in one sitting.
Yeah, that would be a lot of... If it was just loaves end to end and not like ripped up, stretched from...
Even like slices... It would be a lot of bread. You could do it, but it would be a lot of bread if it was slices.
I haven't had sourdough bread in forever. You're making me hungry. Let's talk about spiders instead.
17 spiders. Wingspan of a Eurasian wren.
You said it was half an inch?
Yeah, 0.4.
Okay, 0.4 times 17 is 6.8 inches. That makes sense for a smallish bird. So I'm going to say true.
Correct answer is true. That is the correct wingspan of a smallish bird. The Eurasian wren is about seven inches. Yeah.
I bet you Kylo Ren could eat his wingspan in pizza.
He's got a really like... Remember that movie? He's got a really thick trunk. He's probably got a pretty long wingspan.
He's probably got basketball basketball player arms. But then, I mean, he's got that, if his trunk is thick, that there's, that means that there's a lot of room.
That's
for
true.
Pizza.
More room for pizza. Yeah. That's the,
that's
the golden rule of wingspan pizza.
It's the Fibonacci.
The greater the wingspan, the more space the pizza can fit in.
The Fibonacci pizza sequence. They include that in Da Vinci just forgot to include that in his Vitruvian Man. The perfect like. All right. It's a little guy.
That does sound like a weird fact to be like, did you know that a large pizza is if cut into slices, is the perfect, the ideal wingspan of a human man?
Of the ideal human man.
And the amount of pizza you can eat in a sitting is directly proportional to your wingspan. It's a golden rule of nature.
That would make things easier, because I feel like I can eat way, if I had to stop, like I just couldn't eat more than my wingspan in pizza, I would have a less of a problem with pizza.
Well, if you ate like a Chicago style, you might have to slow down pan pizza.
Yeah, the first time I ate a Chicago style, I ate it like a normal pizza, like at the same rate.
Yeah.
And it did not stay in my stomach for long.
You've got to eat it at a calzone's rate.
I absolutely needed to slow my roll there. That thing was the size of
It's really a stromboli in terms of frequency.
It was the thickness of a Pearson algebra textbook.
Do you want to hear some fast facts before we get into the major fact?
Yes.
The East Asian orb weaver, Erinaceus ventricosus, is a large, colorful spider that colorful in terms of its language. It swears, you know, like it's.
It's
brown and gray and black.
Are we going to need to put a big colors. Like red E next to this episode just because this one has
no,
colorful
never,
language?
Never, never, never. We won't say what it says.
we'll leave that to the spiders.
Yeah.
It's a spider secret.
It lives across Eastern Asia, including Japan, China, Korea, parts of Taiwan. It lives everywhere in China, but only parts of Taiwan. That doesn't seem right.
Morally?
It's an orb weaver, which means it spins the classic circular wheel web, usually built in vegetation between branches, shrubs, garden plants, between the tree in my yard and the fence in my yard that sends me through a spider web every morning. But they do typically wait at the center of the web at night, monitoring for vibrations and signals of trapped prey, and it will rebuild the web every night, typically. Stuff gets in there, even if you don't catch anything, like a leaf will ruin everything. But they gotta redo it. And it feeds on a variety of mostly flying insects, including moths and flies and mosquitoes and beetles and small wasps. Large wasps become a problem, but small wasps.
They're back on the menu, boys.
During autumns, males will search for females and cautiously approach their web. This is a dangerous game for the male because sometimes you'll crawl onto a female's web and she'll think you're prey. The vibrations will send her into a prey drive and he'll just get eaten. Or if she's just not vibing with him, she'll eat him. Like, what's the worst she can say is no. No, the worst she can do is eat you.
Yeah, there. there's a major confidence blow there. I mean, the fear of rejection is just the tip of the iceberg for these guys. It's like, she could reject me and I would feel bad, but I wouldn't feel bad for long, because then I wouldn't feel anything.
Yeah, and it's tough to fake it till you make it, put a little swagger in your walk when your legs are moving by filling with fluid and hydraulic pressure. You know, it's, you're really just, you're moving how you move.
Yeah, you just have to work really hard to not move the same way that prey moves.
Right. Females produce egg sacs containing hundreds of eggs. The spiderlings hatch later and disperse, often by ballooning, releasing silk threads that allow the wind to carry them away. Like in Charlotte's Web.
Like in Charlotte's Web, yeah.
Yeah. They're not dangerous to humans. Its venom is so specialized to hunting its bug prey that it's ineffective to vertebrates. Researchers analyzed the venom and found that it's packed with scary stuff if you're a bug. But even in high concentrations, it has no effect on the nerve or muscle function in rats and mice. And injected mice showed no symptoms of envenomation. So it's. I wonder if it would hurt. It's still fangs. I know golden ore weavers, it hurts, but it's not like it's not like getting bit by even a brown recluse or anything like that, or black widow.
Yeah, apparently we can drink this stuff like boba tea and be fine.
I wouldn't recommend it. Probably doesn't taste good.
Probably not.
But that's
not without all the bubbles in it.
All I got.
All right. I'm calling this major fact catfishing in Morse code. So the reason why I found this guy really interesting is because they eat fireflies. That's not the
I
only
don't,
thing.
I do not believe my eyes.
Yeah, don't. Listen, if you saw 10 million fireflies...
It's way beyond my wingspan.
You would be... Yeah, that's much more than your wingspan. That's why I called it Foul City. But so the East Asian orb weaver likes to eat fireflies, but it treats male and female fireflies differently when they're caught in its web. There's a gap there. The female fireflies are usually eaten immediately because there's not too much that the spider can do with the female. However, when a male firefly is captured, the spider will keep it alive rather than eating it right away. And it does, the reason why it does this is to set a trap for other fireflies. They're not exactly sure how it does this. I was trying to find the exact mechanism and then try and wrap my tiny brain around it, which we've tried to do in the past with complicated things. But no, they still just don't even know. The spider will bite the male firefly, and whether through some sort of chemical interaction, will change its flashing behavior. They're not sure if it is like the direct chemicals that are making this happen, or if it like blocks oxygen from reaching the certain organs that produce the light, the luciferins in the firefly. But you know, regardless, the male firefly's flashing pattern changes after being bitten by the East Asian orb weaver spider. So under normal circumstances, a male firefly will flash a species-specific courtship signal in order to attract females. We've talked about there's a wasp that can mimic some of these specific firefly signals to get to catch prey, to catch fireflies in particular. But once the spider bites a male firefly, it will begin producing flashing patterns that closely resemble those of females that are receptive to the signals. So if a male firefly flashes a certain signal to say, like, hey, are there any ladies interested in what I have to offer? And then most females will flash back a, it's just not the right time for me right now. I have a lot of stuff going on kind of signal.
I see you more as a guy over there.
Yeah, I see. Like, I think we should just be friends. But the females that are interested will flash a hey, let's DM.
Mm-hmm.
Signal. So,
detritus munch.
Detritus.
Yeah, we're gonna munch on some detritus together.
Yes. Detritus munch. I thought you said detritus much. It's like, do you detritus much? No, detritus munch. Avocado toast detritus. Mm-hmm. So other male fireflies will see this signal that says that they'll see the signal and say, "Hey, look, over there is a female that is interested in what I have to offer or what I could potentially offer." But it's not a female firefly. It is a male firefly that has been bitten by the spider, and there is a spider at the end of this rainbow. So the incoming males will fly toward the signal, and they will become trapped in the web, effectively turning one captured firefly into a living lure for additional prey. This is like like an investment. Like, you get your paycheck and you could go and spend it immediately, earn it and burn it, or you could invest it and attract more money to your seed money. Let it grow. Don't bury that talent. Go and invest your master's talent. Earn five more.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, this strategy allows the spider to catch obviously significantly more prey than it otherwise would if it was just waiting for fireflies to passively run into its net. Instead, it hacks the fireflies it does catch to send out a distress signal. Not as a distress signal, but the opposite of distress signal. But it's very similar to... I don't remember who does it, but in Star Wars... they send out like a, hey, all Jedi, come to the Jedi Temple. I swear we're in trouble. No need to bring swords or be on your guard or anything. Just come on down. And a bunch of Jedi come to the Jedi Temple and get killed.
So it's like Omni-Man in the first episode.
Yeah, like, hey, we have a problem, and then you're trapped in here with me. So the researchers have observed that the spider appears capable of inducing different flash patterns depending on the species of the firefly that is involved. So this is a very specialized form of behavioral manipulation. There's some level of understanding of, like, I have this firefly, therefore I need to bite it and make it do this pattern. And they still don't know how this happens, how exactly the chemicals are interacting with the firefly's biology to make it produce the signal. Because normally males, they have a male. It's not even like, oh, I just need to activate this, this nerve pattern to make it do something it normally does. It's a male. It doesn't usually give this pattern. So I hesitate to say this because it's so advanced, but it would seem that it is, that the spider is making the signal. Like, okay, we're going to flash once. Okay, then we're going to flash twice quickly here. And then we're going to flash again. Like, That may not be what's happening. They don't know that what is happening. But it, like, the fact that it's not like there aren't three different patterns that the Firefly has, and the when the spider bite just like eliminates two of them, so it only gives one. Like, that would be very simple and straightforward. But instead, it's a pattern that a male Firefly never gives.
Under normal circumstances, it would never do it in its lifetime.
Right. They even did a thing where they obscured the Firefly's lantern with ink. So they covered it with ink so it didn't flash. And the spider just ate him. didn't even try it.
Well, that's the other thing. Like, the spider's not thinking, so it's like...
Right.
Or it's not, like, making, like, complicated decisions. So, like, something overrides, it's just like, I'm hungry, I'm going to eat this. Like, it'll do that to its own kind. Females will just eat a male.
They're so ravenous that they're just like berserkers. Just whatever's in my way is about to get eaten. But if a male Firefly gets...
good investment opportunity.
Right. They, like Thaddeus J. Spider, they are successful businessmen. Oh, yeah. I promised I would tie this into the Jay Gatsby thing. Oh, the whole theme of the Jay Gatsby. He's got the green light that's flashing off in the back that symbolizes his love for Daisy. I don't know. Some English
major. I thought
he
was staring at a light, thinking it was symbolizing her, like, you know, carrying a torch for him.
Who knows? I don't know.
There's a light. There's a green light that he stares at on the docks.
Right, yes. And it, I believe it flashes. And it means whole host of things, depending on whatever you care about. That's how literature interpretation goes. Which is why I don't like it. But yeah. It's a siren's call. I thought it was very... It's interesting at the very least. Possibly borderline genius. Most likely just like... this spider is so specialized that this is just its instinct to do this with this particular kind of prey. Because it's also species specific. So it's not just like... fireflies in general. It's this species needs this signal to attract the males.
It's just like the diving bell spider, where it's just like, I don't understand the road to this not happening to this happening. The development of this doesn't make sense.
Yeah, how would it go from... like one day, one of the like a spider bit a male firefly, and it emitted a signal that perfectly matched a female receptive signal, not just a female signal, but a female that is ready to go. And a bunch of more fireflies ended up in his net, and he was like, "Huh. Well, I guess I should do this more often and teach my children how to do this."
Right. I mean, the way that you would think this works is that the ones that like did not automatically eat the firefly had the light attract more, and the ones that did that, you know, more survived and ate more, but
they
like
got to eat more. They got to.
There's
they
so there's a billion. There's billions of spiders all over the earth not doing this and eating plenty of things that fly into its web.
This is something so you could say about like, a lot of things in the animal kingdom. I'm realizing, right. Like, yeah. Why does this animal have this super specialized skill or ability or thing on its face when it's also eating fish? Everything eats fish. Like, So does it? Why does this have this ability or what have you? How did this develop? Yeah. Why wouldn't everything be able to do this?
But for the grace of God, for us to just make this podcast and enjoy it.
But for the grace of God, go neat. I. Yeah. As I look at this spider. Yep. Thank goodness he made them all unique.
And cool. Because we would have very few episodes if they were all the same.
If everything was a crab, like it's supposed to be.
A crab or a mouse. We're all just crabs and mice. We're on our way to crabs and mice.
What a boring world. But also, I would watch that version of West Side Story. All right. Do you got anything else?
That's all I got.
All right. That was the East Asian Orb Weaver Spider. For you out there in Podcastia, stay away from the light. Be skeptical. Oh, wait. No, wait. I wrote this for the Firefly. Not the War Orb Weaver.
Well, it's still good. It's a good lesson to be skeptical of catfishing.
Be skeptical of fishing. That's what I put, but this is for...
If you suspect a phishing attempt, alert your IT department.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's see. For you out there in Podcastia, practice delayed gratification. Invest your earnings wisely and use chemistry to your advantage, like the East Asian Orb Weaver Spider here in Life, Death, and Taxonomy.
Hey Taxonomy Titans, I just want to remind you that we have a Patreon that you can find by going to ldtaxonomy.com/donate. All of our episodes are uploaded there. Sign up for free to engage with us, leave episode suggestions, or chat with other animal enthusiasts. If you find it in your heart to donate, it will help us cover some costs and continue to make the show. Plus, we'll thank you every week. Most importantly, thank you all for listening.
My favorite in the world podcast.
There 10x you go. Your growth. Yeah.
10x.